which greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Good to worship with you, been inspired as we look into God's Word. This whole thing of the clean versus unclean. Last Sunday we looked at a little bit on the, we talked about this drinking. He said, you don't want that among you so that you can discern between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the unholy. And just had to think about that as we, God wants us to be aware of our situations. He wants us to be aware of our ability to become unclean. And he wants us to keep a vigilant mind toward those things. This morning I want to look at the topic of the faithfulness of God. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. As we think of that in connection, even with our Sunday school, God laid out so many things. He says, you do this because I am the Lord. Or this is important because I am the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Has God somehow changed over time? Is he, sometimes we say, well, we hear this, that was the Old Testament. That doesn't really apply. And there are some things that Jesus has fulfilled. We think of the law and the many things, but the principles that he's laid out, he is faithful. He hasn't changed in his view of sin. He hasn't changed in his acceptance of sin, whether he accepts things now that he didn't used to, different things like that. He is faithful. And so we want to think about the faithfulness of God this morning. Simply entitled it, Our Faithful God. Faithful, according to Merriam-Webster's, is the first definition says is obsolete, which is full of faith. We think of something, we talk about something that is full of faith. But he goes on, he says, steadfast in affection or allegiance, loyal. We think of that as a faithful friend. Somebody who has been with us throughout our good times and bad times. They're steadfast. They're a faithful friend. Number three, firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty. Conscientious, such as a faithful employee. Somebody who we can depend on. Somebody who, when we tell them a certain way to do things, they carry it out just like that. They're conscientious. They're faithful. Given with strong assurance, binding a faithful promise. And we can look at that in connection with God, him giving promises. He was faithful in carrying them out, and he will be faithful in carrying them out. And we value that when somebody tells us something that they actually do it. We say, they were faithful in showing up on time, or they were faithful in getting it done. They said they would, and they were good at, good is their word. True to the facts, to a standard, or to an original, a faithful copy. And as we think of all these definitions, we see God setting the standard, we could say, for this faithfulness. And we want to be the last there, a faithful copy of that. True to God's standard of faithfulness. As we ponder the faithfulness of God in contrast to the world around us and even our own tendencies, I find myself coming up short so many times. I might tell the family, let's get this done and then we'll, maybe we can do this. And it's something that they've been looking forward to. Well, when it all comes out, maybe it just doesn't quite work out the way we intended. And so we have to kind of do it or lay something else and carry out, or we have to redo our schedule. It's got later than we thought, so we can't do that after all, or whatever. We find ourselves coming up short. I do. And as we think of God, God is never that way. His faithfulness is there. His faithfulness is sure. When he says, if you confess our sins, I will forgive your sins. He is faithful in that. He doesn't come out short. We don't come up short and say, well, I've confessed, and now, I hope God. No, he's faithful in doing that. And 1 John 1:9 brings that out. He's faithful and just to forgive us for sins. So his faithfulness is there. It's something that we depend on. It's something that we maybe take for granted sometimes. It's just there. He is faithful. And I think truly we should stand in awe of one who is totally faithful, totally deserving of trust, because as we look around, somebody who gains our trust can let us down. I remember hearing the account of somebody who was talking about a businessman. He said, he would trust that guy with his last dollar, and well, it come out that the guy actually swindled him. He trusted him, but the guy left him down. He swindled him out of his last dollar. And so, our trust can sometimes be misplaced, but not so when we put our trust in God. He has never failed, and he never will fail. We have to be careful that we don't promise something that can't be carried out. We tend to forget. We may promise to be at an appointment at 10:30, and 10:30 comes around and we've totally forgot it. Not so with God. When he says this is how and this is when, that's when it is. He's not bound by forgetfulness or inability to carry it out. There's not a chance of him forgetting to carry out a promise. Not a chance of him promising to do something that he is unable to do. There's no reason to worry about that. God had promised to bless Israel, and I had to think of Balaam. When Balak tried to get him to curse Israel, he said this: God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. God told Balaam, says, you can go, but you're going to say what I want you to say. And God was not going to allow him to curse. God had promised to bless them. And Balaam says, that's something that's out of my control. God has promised it, and he's going to carry it out. And Balak didn't like that message very well, but that's the way it was. He says, God, he's not like a man that he can lie. And he doesn't have to go back and say, well, I can't do that after all. That's not our God. Our God is faithful. I want to look at 7 different points this morning in connection to the faithfulness of God. The first one is, he's true to his nature. Psalm 89:1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. Psalm 36:5, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. God's faithfulness is there. He says he's established it to all generations, and it reaches as far as we can see. Faithfulness, A.W. Tozer says, faithfulness is that in God which guarantees that he will never be or act inconsistent with himself. He will never cease to be what he is and who he is. Everything God says or does must be in accord to his faith with his faithfulness. He will always be true to himself, to his works, and to his creation. So God says, we think of the faithfulness of God, it's just him acting in accordance with who he is. He's never going to be different than who he is. We can maybe put on a front, but God never does that. His faithfulness guarantees that he will never be inconsistent with himself. Hebrews 6:17, wherein God, willing to more abundantly to show to his heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay upon the hope set before us. And as we think of that, God spoke, and that was enough. He says that God cannot lie. When God spoke to Abraham there and gave him the promise, it was as sure. There was no reason to doubt it. But he says he wanted to show to us, confirm to us, so he confirmed it with an oath. And he says, because of that, we can have strong, he calls it strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. There is no reason for us to doubt God's ability to carry out what he says. It is impossible or totally out of character for God to lie. Our response does not change his promises or his faithfulness. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Sometimes, we get this delusion that, if we just think that it's not going to be that way, it probably won't be that way. Not so with the promises of God. Not so with what God says. He says, God, that doesn't change it. Our unbelief does not change the faithfulness of God. He is faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot say, well, okay, if that's the way you feel, then so be it. No, it doesn't change it. He is not mostly faithful, but wholly and totally faithful. We can trust in the character and word of God and take courage that it will be, even as he said, he is going to be true to his nature. His nature is revealed in a word, and as we study the word of God, we come to know God and who he is, his faithfulness. He's faithful and dependable. Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Psalm 105:8, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Matthew 5:18, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God is faithful, and these verses bring out that there's going to be a lot of time passes, but yet God's faithfulness is there. There's nothing going to change, and with his mercy, his covenant, his word, it's going to endure. All is going to be fulfilled that God has spoken. He is faithful and dependable. He always was, always will be. Cannot change. We can rest and find security in that as we think of the faithfulness of God. Number three, he is faithful to forgive. We talked about this one earlier. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessed promise and what assurance we can gain from that. He is faithful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. And, as we think about, especially for those who come to Christ and give their hearts to Christ at maybe an early age, 9, 10, 11, 12, even, there, Satan comes back in our youth and tries to get us distracted, or tries to say, well, you were young, you didn't understand, or that didn't stand, and even older people, he tries to get us to doubt our salvation, tries to get us to lose that promise of assurance. But we can come back to this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. He doesn't go back on his word. As he's forgiven us our sins, they are forgiven. And we can take courage in that. We can take consolation in that. Strong consolation, Hebrews says, in the fact that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, that is not to say we could be careless. There are those who would teach that you know, the grace of God covers, you know, all sins future, and doesn't matter what we do, they are covered. No, we need to confess. And as we are faithful to God and confessing and keeping our lives in accordance to His Word, we can claim that assurance that those sins are forgiven. And it doesn't matter how little or how big they were, when we confess them and follow God's prescription for confessing and forsaking, He is faithful and just to forgive. Number four, He is faithful to the tempted. Another blessed verse that we can find assurance in. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. This is, this verse is almost as good as the first, as 1 John 1:9, because as we think of our faithful God, it says that He's not going to let us be faced with something that cannot be overcome, that we can't resist. And we hear that sometimes. Well, you know, it was an irresistible temptation. No, it was not an irresistible temptation. It's just that it appealed to our flesh and we followed the flesh. We did not take the way of escape that God had made. It says there's no temptation. The other temptation, when we're faced with these things sometimes, is to think that no one has ever faced this one before. You know, I'm alone in this, and we're maybe afraid to share it because of that, or maybe we just say, well, nobody, you know, they can't understand why I gave in to it, because they don't know. He says there's no temptation taken but it's common to mankind. What we're facing with is not unusual. It's not out of the ordinary. It's not something that no one else would understand, but it is common to man. And He says that the blessed promise that He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but He will with the temptation make a way to escape so that you can bear it. There is a path to victory. God is faithful. He has provided that path. He has provided, and there's various paths to victory. The first is to seek God in prayer when we're faced with those things. And you're just, a quick little prayer can make a big difference when we're faced with a temptation. We're faced with it, cry out to God, first of all. If it's something that keeps bothering us, it's a temptation that keeps coming back, we need to seek help. He has given that way to escape. Our parents, our brothers and sisters, our church family, those are all sources for victory for those who are able to, who are willing to seek out those ways to escape that God has made. He has made a way to escape so that we can bear it. Hebrews 2:17. Sometimes we feel separated from God, or that God somehow doesn't understand. Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. What a blessing to serve a God who understands. God understands what we're going through. Not only are our temptations common to man, they will understand if we open up and share them, but God understands what we're going through. He has made a way of escape. He has made a way so that we can be victorious, because He understands. It says, that verse tells us that it behooved Him, or He thought it necessary. He thought it necessary to come and be made like unto His brethren. It behooved Him. We don't use that word much, but if something behooves us, we see a need to do it. Yeah, it behooved me to reach out and to help you in this, whatever, you know. We see it necessary to do it. And Hebrews tells us that Jesus thought it necessary to be made like unto His brethren so that He could be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. We serve a God who understands what we're going through, and He has made a way to escape. He will not allow us to be faced with a temptation that is absolutely unable to overcome. He is faithful to the tempted. Going along with that, He is faithful to the tested. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-4. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. As with temptations in life, there are many trials that come our way. Maybe not trials to, temptations to sin, but trials that can bog us down, trials that can bring discouragement, trials that can bring overwhelming weariness. And he says that, and Paul, I think, was faced with these, and he is telling the Thessalonians there to pray for them. He says, because all men have not the faith. In other words, there are people out there who just won't understand our stand for God. They not only do not understand it, they really don't appreciate it. And they're going to do what they can to keep you from living for God and to try to get you distracted or discouraged on the way. He says that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And we are faced with that today. In society today, there's much going on. There's much opposition to the gospel of God. And you could be labeled as a bigot or phobic or whatever. They have all kinds of labels for those who would point out sin. And so all men have not the faith, and we need to be constant in prayer, not only for our own safety, but for the safety of all workers of God who are carrying forth the gospel. And God is faithful. He says the Lord is faithful, and He's going to establish you and keep you from evil. God is faithful in helping us through those times and the trials that we face. He is well able to keep us from evil. But should He allow us to go through hard testing, we need to commit our souls. And that's what Peter is bringing out. He says, when you do suffer these things, commit your soul to God. He's a faithful Creator. He has a purpose for you. He has created you for a purpose, and He has a purpose for you, and He's going to carry out His purpose in you. And He is, as a faithful Creator, He's going to see that what His purpose is comes to fulfillment. And He will help us on to victory. He will, there's much discouragement, there's much opposition that we face, but God is faithful. He's going to establish and keep you. That brings us on to the point number 6. He's faithful to the discouraged. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. This area of discouragement, I believe, can come a number of different ways, and I believe it is one of Satan's probably most effective weapons in bringing down Christians as they seek to do God's will, as they seek to carry out God's will, and things just don't always happen the way we think they should. We can read of missionaries who face burnout because they go and spread the gospel, and it just seems like there's not much happening, and they just wonder. And maybe we, in our raising our families or in business, you know, we have this in business, we might have this vision of using it to reach out and to, you know, that it will supply, and things just don't work out. And maybe, in raising our family, things get tough at times, and we wonder, you know, will they ever learn? And as they get older, you know, we want to keep them on course, and we're just, you know, there's just a lot that goes on, a lot that can happen. And there are times when maybe we're discouraged in the choices that are made. And we wonder, does God really care? Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, understood this as well. And he understood there what they were facing and the persecution that came their way, that they could become discouraged. He says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless." You know, it's one thing to just keep on, but this thing of discouragement can get us down to where we give up in other areas as well. And we fall prey to other areas just because of the discouragement that we're facing in over here. We can fall prey to other things and let down our guard. But let's not lose hope. Let's not lose heart. God wants to preserve us, our spirit, soul, and body, until he comes again. That's his goal for us. That's his calling for us, is to keep looking to him. He says, "Faithful is he who called you, and he also can do it." We serve a faithful God. He can see us through. He can keep us. He can guide us. He can strengthen us. He can present us blameless at his coming as we faithfully follow him. He is faithful to the discouraged. Finally, he is faithful in judgment. You know, the points we looked at so far have all been maybe more on the positive side, and this one is positive as well, but it's also one that I think kind of helps us keep this whole thing balanced out. 2 Timothy 2:11-13. "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." If we believe not, he is faithful. What he says, the consequences of sin are just as sure as what he says the faithfulness for godliness is. You know, we take great consolation in the promises of God, but he is faithful in carrying out. He says, you know, our unbelief, he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. But if we deny him, he'll deny us. There's no way around it. You know, if we fall away, if we give in unbelief and think that God really doesn't mean what he says will happen to us in that case will happen, just as sure as what the promise for victory, the promise of heaven. The other is true as well. Revelation 19:11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was faithful, was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." And so God is faithful to the ungodly as well. He is, you know, we are blessed with the faithfulness of God. As we think of living for God, the faithfulness of God, and the assurance and the strength and the peace that brings in the trusting the faithfulness of God, but there is a side of his faithfulness that is sobering to us as well, and that is his judgment. He is faithful in judgment. The truth of his word is just as sure for the sinner as it is for the saint. Our unbelief does not negate the faithfulness of God or his word. He abideth faithful. Sin will be judged. He that is faithful and true, he says, he judgeth righteously. There's not going to be any getting around it. There's not going to, you know, we may be able to trick people sometimes and be two-faced, but God sees right through that. In faithfulness, in righteousness, he judges and makes war, and he will judge righteously. And that brings us assurance as well, knowing that the righteous judge will be judging at the end. Let's be faithful. Let's be true. Let's be that copy, that faithful copy of our faithful God. And may we be among the faithful when our Lord returns. Let's kneel for prayer.